Chapter 10. Tara's heart felt as if it was about to burst from her chest, but fear couldn't move her from the hallway in front of Kayla's door. Despite the trembling in her legs and the racing of her heart, she also felt a protective fury in her bones, anchoring her feet to the ground as if they were tree roots. She would not leave Kayla alone with him, not as long as she had strength in her body. Even if her mother did not or could not understand, Tara would not let anything happen to the sleeping child. The bathroom door opened, and a man, not the teenager she remembered, stood before her in shorts and a white t-shirt. He was no taller than her now, and his shoulders were slouched and soft-looking. He had a slightly receding hairline, and his rounded stomach was nothing like the wiry person that had crept in her room a decade ago. But the eyes, the glassy black almonds that stared back at her, were the same. And in them, she could see recognition. "I remember what you did to me," Tara growled, clenching her hands into fists. "You ain't gonna hurt her the way you hurt me, you hear me?" Uncle Rudy looked around the hallway, warily, as if to see who was listening. For an instant, the hall was silent. "I don't know what you're talking about," he replied quickly, his breath smelling distinctly of beer. "Don't you lie," Tara hissed. Years of anger and hurt and rage drove her forward, and she shoved him away from Kayla's doorway. The force knocked him back against the wall with a thud. His eyes widened in surprise as he scrambled to keep his balance. "I never said nothing to nobody, but I remember. You stole my childhood that night. I was just a little girl and you took it, you hear me?" Tara fumed, fury and pain spilling into her voice. "I ain't never been the same. Carrying this around all these years when the one who should be carrying it is you." Her uncle winced at her words.
"Tara, I was 15. I've been drinking. Don't even try to excuse what happened," Tara snapped. "There ain't no excuse for what you did."
"Look, Tara, you can't tell anyone about this," her uncle pleaded. "I'm engaged. All that's behind me."
"What about me?" Tara boomed. "It never ends for me."
Tara heard stirring in Kayla's room. She lowered her voice into a growl.
"And why you here alone with my little cousin, huh?"
The man's eyes shifted as if he had gotten caught in a lie.
"No, you got it all wrong. It's not like that. I mean, I wasn't gonna hurt her. Not like that." "Get out," Tara barked, shoving him again. "Go tell everyone what you did. They're still there waiting for you."
"No," he cried. "No one can know about this. They wouldn't believe you anyway."
"Get out," Tara roared.
"You're a monster in this family, and you don't belong in this house."
"Calm down. I said get out. I never want to see you again,"
Tara hollered, pushing him again and again until he was out of the hallway.
"You better not tell. Get out."
Rudy cursed and rushed out the door. Tara quickly locked it and then felt her stomach begin to heave. She had just reached the bathroom when she began to retch and vomit and weep. Long minutes passed before she heard a gentle tapping at the door.
"Aunt Tara?"
It was Kayla's voice, still scratchy from sleep.
"Coming, baby,"
Tara said, quickly washing her face and opening the door. Kayla stood in her pajamas, her eyes squinting against the bright hallway light.
"I heard noises."
"I know, but it's okay,"
Tara assured her, taking her into her arms and sitting her on the couch in the living room.
"We're gonna do something special tonight. A sleepover at my house, okay? Just us girls. That'll be fun, right?"
The little girl smiled and nodded, still half asleep. Cooper arrived minutes later. Tara met him at the door carrying Kayla in her arms, signaling for him to be quiet.
"We need to take her to my house. We'll talk tomorrow, okay, Coop?"
she whispered to him, realizing for the first time that she wanted to tell him the truth. "I'll explain everything then." Cooper was wide-eyed, and he looked worried, but he also nodded as if he understood her. He didn't ask a single question as they took the short drive back to her house. She thanked him and even kissed his cheek before saying goodnight and taking Kayla inside. She then made a snug bed for Kayla on the living room sofa. "Kayla's sleeping at my house. I'll bring her back tomorrow. Have fun." She sent the text to Rochelle and then sat motionless in the quiet living room, listening to the gentle hush of Kayla's breathing. A stack of pictures rejected from Aunt Deborah's photo album were arranged in a neat pile on the coffee table. Tara was sure that Mom left them there to show her aunt when she got in. She grabbed them and leafed through them, seeing her own unhappy face from years ago. But there was one of her sitting on Aunt Deborah's lap. The image was blurry and out of focus, almost as if it had been taken through tears. But Tara could tell that she was singing in it, singing a nursery rhyme with her aunt despite the horror she had endured only hours earlier. And suddenly, in the dark room, Tara found herself humming a gentle tune to her baby cousin, a sleeping angel for whom she had faced her deepest fears to protect. The love in her heart, she realized, was stronger than any fear, no matter how old or how dark or how deep. Aunt Deborah and Mom arrived less than an hour later. Tara was still awake, guarding Kayla, when she heard their voices outside.
"Tara?"
Aunt Deborah called out as soon as she saw her.
"Oh, my goodness. Look at you, child. You're all grown up."
The old woman embraced her then. Though Aunt Deborah had just turned 90, Tara could still feel strength in her wiry muscles when they hugged.
"Oh, I missed you, child," her aunt said.
"I missed you too, Auntie," Tara replied and squeezed her back.
She felt a sudden stinging in her eyes and quickly blinked back the tears that tried to gather in them.
"I'm sorry I missed your party, but I'm so happy you're here."
"And I'm happy to be here, child," the old woman said, touching Tara's cheek.
"Tara, why is Kayla here?"
Mom asked from behind her.
"Rudy said you were going to watch her over at Rochelle's. I thought he looked confused when he said it."
"Nah, I decided to bring her here," Tara said, wiping her eyes quickly. "We're having a slumber party. Girls only."
Aunt Deborah looked once at the sleeping child and then closely at Tara.
"Well, you got the slumber part right. Not much of a party, though, is it?"
she said with a smile.
"It's about all the party I'm up for right now," Tara said, smiling back at her.
"I did sing to her a little bit, just like us in this picture."
"Oh, yeah?"
Aunt Deborah smiled and squinted to get a good look at the picture.
"Look how much you two look alike."
"It's true," Mom added. "Even in the blurry picture, you almost look like sisters."
Tara stared at the old photo, remembering the horror that could have happened if she had not rushed home. And then a thought hit her, one that had never occurred to her before. If she had not suffered, she would never have gone over to Aunt Lucille's house. Instead, she would have left Kayla alone with Rudy, just as Rochelle did. The thought made her shudder.
"Tara, are you all right?"
Aunt Deborah asked, eyeing her carefully. Tara closed her eyes and nodded wearily.
"I am now," she said.
"What you mean now?" Mom asked. "Is it your stomach again? Should I take you to the doctor, baby?"
Tara shrugged and wiped her eyes. She grabbed the picture of herself with Aunt Deborah. She saw a child there, one weighed down by the most horrible event she could imagine. And yet, amidst it all, she was still singing. She could almost hear her kid voice rising from the safety of her aunt's lap. It was incredible to think that a child could endure so much and still live on. And yet she had done it, she realized. She was a survivor. In a way, she had been doing that ever since, rising up amidst the wounds and scars to be a protector, a guardian of children. Perhaps that's why some called her a teacher or sought her when they needed advice.
Such things didn't take her pain away, but they allowed her to transform the hurt into something positive and good and beautiful. And that made the pain bearable, a kind of antidote to the poison left inside her. Tara had never understood the connection before, in part because she had kept it hidden. But now, after everything that happened, and with Mom and Aunt Deborah at her side, she was tired of hiding.
"It's a long story, Mom." "We ain't going anywhere," Mom answered.
Aunt Deborah rubbed Tara's back. Tara looked them in the eyes and could see the fierce love and concern both women had for her. She could feel it radiating like heat through the quiet living room, thawing her insides. There was a song in her heart, a sad truth she had held for so long. It was time to let it out.
"I think you're going to want to sit down," she said, closing her eyes. "This isn't going to be easy to hear."
The next day, Tara asked Cooper to drive her back to the beach. She didn't tell him that Uncle Rudy had taken an early flight back to Atlanta, or that her mother was going to speak with a prosecutor friend about how best to pursue him, or that she stayed up with Mom and Aunt Deborah most of the night hugging and crying and reminiscing. Instead, she grabbed a cooler of soda, leftovers from the party, and a blanket so they could sit down together alone on the beach. She spent the drive talking about Hakeem's return in a few weeks and the coming school year. Yet Tara knew Cooper was smart enough to figure out she had something more important to say, though he didn't once hassle her with questions or demand that she talk. Instead, he was respecting her silence and giving her space until she was ready. Again, they strolled on the edge of the water, the crashing waves muffling all the other sounds, making them feel that they were alone together, the only ones on the edge of the earth.
"Cooper, this ain't easy for me," she finally began, squeezing his hand for a second before pulling away. "I never wanted you to know, 'cause I was afraid you wouldn't want to be with me no more. I was afraid you'd be disgusted, that you'd want to walk away."
"Girl, nothing you gonna say would make me do that. You gotta understand that by now."
"Listen to me, Coop. Don't say that until you know. 'Cause I can't have you lying to me. Not about this."
"About what, Tara? What is it?" he asked, his voice urgent with concern.
Tara looked at the waves crashing down in front of them and heard the steady rolling of the surf. Against it, she felt tiny, like a little girl again, before her uncle had come along and shattered her world. It was as though she was trying to reclaim that time, to go back and mend the broken pieces that had been left behind. A tear rolled down her face. Normally, she would pretend it was the salt air, the bright sun, a bit of sand in her eye. This time, Tara locked Cooper in her gaze, stepped close, and held both his hands in hers. There was no more hiding, no more lying, no more jokes to distract him. The words rose like a tide inside her, and she let them spill.
"I was raped, Coop," she said, staring down at the sand. "I was 6. He was my uncle."
She felt Cooper's strong legs buckle, felt the horrible truth sinking into his body, felt him shudder in disbelief and outrage. But she also felt him embrace her, and when she tasted salt water on her lips, it wasn't the ocean. It was his tears mixing with hers. Around them, waves crashed, gulls cried, the sun inched across the sky. But for a long time, all Tara felt was Cooper's arms.
"We're gonna get through this together," he said finally. "I promise you that. This is only gonna make us stronger, you hear me?"
Tara nodded, burying her face deep into his chest and hearing his heart beat like the drum to a beautiful, perfect song.
"I know we will," she said, reaching for his hand. "I know we will."
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluford series of books. Survivor, written by Paul Langan, read by Shayna Walker, produced by Dave Giorgio, and features the music of Kenyon Winnington. For more information, visit our website at townsandpress.com.